I just want to add one word just about something we were discussing in the middle of the shiur. I mean, the main idea of the shiur is the concept that that there was something unique about Klal Yisrael, about from Avram, like Avram Nachah. From that time on, we mentioned that the group that followed Avram was a special kind of group. We're going to get back to that idea. But Agav Orcha, we mentioned, we were speaking about the emotions of great people and how they're expressed. And I mentioned that that while a great person has emotions and enjoys an emotional life, and emotional experiences, emotional enjoyments, but they're different because they can't function unless they're related to some kind of higher sphere, like Chachma. And that's why Tirgum Unkelus said in Parashas Vayeshev, the Yisrael Ohavas Yosef Mikol Bonov Kiven Zekunim Hulo. So how is Unkelus Metagim? Are Bar Chakim Hulei. Okay, because he was a very intelligent son. And he actually takes the Pasuk out from its simple meaning. Because Ben Zekunim means is born to him, well, the other person is born. He says, oh, by Avram, what does it say? It says, Yilatati Vein Lizkunot. Alright, so you have already a pasuk says Yilatati Vein Lizkunot. So why did Tikkun Unkelus take it out of its plain interpretation, its plain meaning? And he learns Zekunim from the word Zikna, which means Chachma. Zesha Kana Chachma. And it's far removed. Why did Unkelus take it out of its plain meaning? The answer is because what Unkelus wanted to show was that there could never be this love between Yaakov and Yosef, unless he was a Bar Chakim. It would be impossible. Because even though the great Yaakov enjoyed the emotion of having a son, and you see how affected he was by the fact that he lost his son, he was in avail for 20 years, but still, he could never enjoy that son if that son was just an ignorant son. Not only that, but the main reason, according to Unkelus, the main reason that he had this special relationship was because of that quality of intelligence that Yosef had. That was really what created the bond. And of course, then of course the emotion was also there. There's no doubt about it. But the Torah doesn't speak about it. According to Unkelus, the Torah would have said, "Ki ven zekunim b'lov," because of an emotional reason. That would indicate that's why he liked them. That's boorish. That's not for a great chacham. So therefore, Unkelus says that it means the reason why he loved him so much was not because of his because he was the son of Rachel, because he was a ben zekunim, because he was born to him when he was very old, when he was older. But actually, he wasn't that much older because all the shvatim were born together. But anyways, he veers away from the plain shot because with a great chacham, the main thing has to be the relationship of chachma. That's the main. Then he can enjoy it. Okay. So you see, from Unkelus, you see that idea. Now I want to get back to the main thing. And the main point that I mentioned was that if you look very carefully through the Pesukim of the Torah, you'll see that there was a singular phenomenon, a phenomenon that never happened before or since, and that is that a small group of people were considered by the entire world as treated by the entire world as if they were a nation. Okay, this is something which it's a sociological phenomenon that never happened before or since. Okay, they were treated like a small country almost. Like an independent group, all right? And I showed from the various psukim, from the different sources, that the whole world was looking at them. You see, they said Leah, the oldest, Shirach's going to be the oldest to the oldest, and the youngest to the youngest. That's why Leah was so frightened that maybe she's going to be she'll have Esav, okay? And you see, Kinevola also be Israel. That they said, how this thing can't take place among the Jewish people. Who are Jewish people? Jewish people. The answer is obviously they were considered and they were treated by the entire world as a separate nation, as a nation, as if they were a big nation. That's why Ve'elah Malachim Shemochum Beret Edom Lefnei Malach Melchus Yisrael. It means it wants to show you, like Chazal said, we're really not interested so much in the Malchay Edom. It's interested in showing you that they also were a nation at the time. But the Malucha didn't happen to them yet. Okay? So, this I said was from Va'agad Lashem Nachal. Va'agad Lashem Nachal means was a unique bracha that God gave Avraham Avinu, that he will emerge as a hero. Even though he was really like an escaped convict when he ran out from the other side of the Eivor HaYarden, but because of the Ashgacha turned it around. I don't know exactly how, we don't know how it worked, but somehow or other the Ashgacha Tanav Agad Lashem Nachor was Ashgacha Agad Lashem Nachor, that people looked at him as a heroic figure, and he became a great hero. And the fact that the rebel is, we spoke about the fact that the rebel can either be degraded or a rebel can become a great hero. That's it. This whole country is a bunch of rebels, but they're heroic rebels. Okay, so that's Avraham Avinu became a hero. That's what I mentioned last time. Okay, now there's one Gemara which a Chazal, which amazingly corroborates this idea. It's one that I. Hanach Bo reminded me about it. I was discussing this with him. There's one that always bothered me. This didn't make any sense. It's a Gemara in Bava Kama. Gemara says it's a Medrash, really. It's a Medrash, but it's a Gemara mentioned Bava Kama. Gemara says like this. Gemara says, okay. Gemara talks about different Mabeos. It's in Daf Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis. And the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Ezeo Matbeah Shel Yerushalayim. What is the Matbeah, the coin of Yerushalayim? Dovid Shlomo Mitzad Echad, Yerushalayim Er Kodesh Mitzad Echad. So one side you had Dovid Shlomo, and the other side you had Yerushalayim Er Kodesh. Okay. Yet Tesfah says that it wasn't the picture, it wasn't pictures, there were no pictures. It just said Dovid and Shlomo on one side, and it said Yerushalayim on the other. It wasn't a picture, because the Isser of Tzuras Adam in relief is Asa. So, in relief is Asa, right. So Taisa says, it couldn't be that it was a picture. If I'm not mistaken, others say that it was impressed is mother. Right? Yeah, okay. But anyways, that's okay, that's fine, that was fine, because after all, David HaMelech was the, in his time, the Klal Yisrael was the most powerful nation in the world, and he was the most powerful king in the world. So, of course, he had coins. But then the Gemara says something that's pretty unbelievable. Bezel matbeya shel Avraham Avinu. And what is the coin of Avraham Avinu? And it says over there, Zokin is the king on mitzad echad, an old man and an old lady on one side, ubachor basula mitzad echad. And a young boy and a young girl on the other side. That's what the that was the Mabeah of Avraham Avinu. What kind of sense does that make? Wasn't that bad Avraham Avinu? So Rashi explains who's the old couple is really Avram and Sarah, and the young couple is Yitzchak and Rivka. Okay, yeah. Now Tesis is like this. Tesis says, amazing thing. Mabeah of Avraham Avinu Zokin Skem Tzaracha Echad. The gracious Rabba Dorish Va'agad Lo Shemecha. So the Medrash says, and I'll make the name great, Sheyetze Lo Munitin Ba'olam. Alright? Munitin. Munitin. It means to say that coinage. Umar Munitin, what does Munitin mean? Zakin is a king of Mikan, Bachor or Bachor or Mikan. Okay? So we're minting. So, yeah. There's somebody that wants to show that every word in all different languages comes originally from Hebrew. But anyway, so it says, so Yeshua Munitin Balam. So you see, so what does it mean? It means Avraham Avinu minted coins. It sounds crazy.
This is the island.
Sounds crazy. What it means is, you understand what I mean? What is this? For a few people? The answer, I guess. The answer is then what is really what is minting coins? What is minting coins? Yeah. See, originally originally everything was exchanged through barter. That was the original way that people worked out the economic problems. After one person has one thing, another person has to exchange it. Okay, but then you realize that this becomes pretty inconvenient because you have to have an even exchange or not even exchange.
You have to bring an object.
So then you need an object which is which has intrinsic value. Okay, so then they use like silver or gold. See? But then there's a problem also. Problem is, to weigh the silver, it's not the exact same weight. You trust the other fellow that it's actually the right amount there.
An alloy.
So the only way to secure that is to have a coin. Coin is, you take a look and see, this is has a syringe, easily recognizable. It resembles X amount of value, no problem. But who guarantees the coin? Who guarantees the coin? Who says that this coin has a value? So you need a government. You need a government. Government. What a government does, a government by having coinage, by minting coins, what they do is they guarantee really the value of every coin, every object that's used as a medium of exchange, and what happens is that there's commerce is able to take place. You're able to have business transactions. Yeah, but the government, of course, the government guarantees. That's why you need a government, because who's going to guarantee the thing? Somebody make up his own coins. Who's going to make up his own coins? They make their own private coins. That's exactly what we're trying to avoid. So the government guarantees the coin. So you see that Avraham Avinu minted coins. Why did he mint coins? Because the whole world recognized him, and they trusted his coins. Uh-huh. And the purpose of the coin was really not so much for exchange, but to show that he exists as a separate nationality, a separate nation. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing chazal. Was to distinguish his group from the rest of the world. And the rest of the world accepted it, and his coin was accepted, they trusted it, and they treated him, he was treated like a separate nation. It's an amazing chazal. But what was the coin? The coin was Zakin is the king of Mitzar Echad, and Bochur and Bachura Mitzar Hashem. Why? What was it? Because what did that represent? What did it represent? It represented the continuity. Remember the Leitzoni Ador, like the Rav one time mentioned, Leitzoni Ador, Rashi says, Leitzoni Ador, were left. They said that Yitzchak came from Avimelech. Why? Because they wanted to say that Avraham Avinu, as soon as he dies, that's the end of his philosophy. Just wait a few more years, it'll all be gone, it'll all be over. They knew what Avraham Avinu knew. That he knew Anochi Holach Hariri, Ben Meshek Beis, Yehuda Meshek Eliezer. Avraham Avinu knew that if it's not from him, so then it's not going to continue. The continuity can only take place. The philosophical continuity requires the continuity of Avin Bain. Otherwise, they're not going to say, no one's going to respect Eliezer. It's not legitimate. He's not the real heir to the ideas. Had to be from Avraham Avinu. Psychological phenomena. So that's why the late Sonny Ador said that Yitzchak came from Avimelech. From Avimelech. So, what? Actually, yeah. So that's right. So I'll say that God made the face of Yitzchak look exactly like the face of Avraham Avinu. Same features. So nobody could say that. So it showed, it demonstrated the continuity. So that was the Zakin and Zakina from one side, the old couple, and the young couple, the continuity. And the continuity, and really, that was the whole kingdom. That was the whole kingdom. The kingdom was both sides of the coin. That was the kingdom. Zakin is the king on the and the Bachur and the Bachura on the other side. That was the kingdom. Okay. So you see, it's an amazing concept. But the minting of the coins was done. That's what it says. What was Lashon Hava? Agad Lashon Mecha. Sheyetze lo munitin ba'olam. That he coined... these objects. Why? Because he created a coin in order to demonstrate that the world recognized them as a separate individual nation. If any Chazal shows that that's so, is this Chazal. Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. We're going to get to it later. They definitely recognize his greatness. No doubt about it. By the way, there's a Medrash that says, that's what it means, Avram HaIvri. He's against the whole world. It means that I mentioned last week, it means that the Ivri means that, it's true, it's Me'ever Hanor and from the other side. It means to say, it's the same thing. It means that he was against the whole world, and he came out like a great hero. Now, the interesting Medrash. Medrash says, Ivri, what does it mean, Avram HaIvri? It says, Ivri means Mashiach. Ivri means Mashiach. Funny Medrash. What is Ivri Mashiach? But that's precisely what we're saying. It means that became to be, that word was used after that as indicating a Mashiach. A Mashiach means a great hero, saves the world. So, Ivri became to mean that, because Avram Avinu, he came out, instead of from Aver Hanor, the refugee became converted into the hero. So the term, the Ivri, which really represents an Ivri refugee who escaped from the other side, that became his greatness. That became his greatness, and the world recognized him as a Hebrew, and that word became to be used as a Mashiach. That Pshat is also mentioned. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, Me'Aver Hanor. There's an interesting Rambam. I mean, the Rambam in the ninth parak of Hilchos Melachim, where he talks about the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Neach, how they developed. So then he said, first he says six mitzvahs Adam Rishon had, and then he says, and Hosef Noach Eva Menachai. So God added one more by Noach, Eva Menachai, you know. Shenemach Bas Benafsha Dam Losachelu Nimtzu Sheva Mitzvahs. Come that there were seven mitzvahs. Then the Rambam starts off on a little story. V'chein hoyo adova b'chol ha'olam ad shebo Avram. That's the way it was ad Avram. Until that's where it was in the entire world till Avram came. Bo Avram v'nitztava yeser aleilu b'mila. Another mitzvah was there, b'mila. V'hu ispal shachris. And he was the first one to daven shachris. The Yitzchak Hifrish Meiser Vahosef Tefillah Cheres Lefnos Hayom, and Yitzchak gave Meiser, and in the afternoon he was Mespal. The Yaakov Hosef Giranoshe Vespal Arvis. Okay, it's funny kind of Rambam there. And Yaakov added Giranoshe. First of all, he added Giranoshe. I mean, was it a mitzvah Giranoshe? Was it not a mitzvah Giranoshe? And it's what? Yeah, and then it says Uba Mitzrayim, Alkenya Uba Mitzrayim Nitztavo Amram B'Mitzvos Yiseros. This nobody knows the Rambam's talking about. What source does the Rambam have that Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, got certain mitzvahs? Which mitzvahs? We don't know. What? Amram? No, Amram, the father of Moshe. What kind of mitzvahs did he have that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have? But that doesn't bother me so much. But anyways, Ad Sheba Moshe Rabbeinu V'Nishlamo Torah Al Yado. Until long came Moshe Rabbeinu and the whole Torah was completed. What's difficult about the Rambam? What's difficult about the Rambam? There's something very difficult there. Difficult about the Rambam is what? No, difficult about the Rambam is that there's a qualitative differentiation. You see, the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Avel, okay, in the beginning of the Laws of Avelis, so the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says that mitzvah say l'sabal ala krovim shenem avar chalti chatas hayom ayit avbeni ad Hashem. Okay, then that's aninus. Then avails mitzvah b'yom rishon b'olvad sheyom misa v'yom akvura. Okay, so we'll accept the pasuk. Pasuk teaches you avails yom rishon is the right. So that's what the Rambam holds. The Rif holds. Many rishonim hold that way. He says avol she'or hashiva yomim, but the remaining 7 days of avails ain't no din Torah. There's nothing in the Torah. Af al pi shenema b'torah v'yas lo v'avol shivas yomim. It says that Yosef made a mourning period for his father for 7 days. He says, "Nitna Torah is Chach Shalacha." It's a klal. That means to say that what happened before Matan Torah, you cannot equate with what happens after Matan Torah. Matan Torah is the birth of all the whole system of the mitzvahs. So anything we do now, we don't do because of the fact that Yaakov, if he ate Giranoshe, didn't eat Giranoshe, doesn't matter to us at all. It's all, it all starts from Sinai. Sinai determines which mitzvah we do. You have to, this is a very deep concept, by the way. It's a really, you have to think into it. It's the whole system is really based on this idea. It's an amazing, amazing consistency in Chazal. You see, the Nitnat HaRashchat Shalacha is the whole concept of Halacha. Because Halacha isn't, can't come about, can't evolve slowly. Halacha is a whole institution. This is, God gave us a separate kind of way of thinking. Halacha is a whole new method. Where do we get this method? Sinai. And everything goes back to Sinai. Why am I trying to do something? It's all across the Sinai. Not because Yaakovina did something. If they did something before, so the Torah can re-endorse it. But it has to start from Sinai. It's an important principle. So the question is, that being the case, and that's the Yesod and the Torah, not just the Maamar Chazal and the Ram, of course, no one disagrees with that. So what does Ram mean when Ram says, V'yakov hosef get anashev, espal arvis, v'mitzrayim v'nitzdav amram, v'mitzrayim v'nitzdav, ad shebom moshevenu v'nishlem otorah. What is nishlem otorah yodo? What kind of a thing is this? What is nishlem otorah? Nitna terah nishchat shalocha. Ad shebom moshevenu v'nosel anos otorah. It shouldn't be any odd even. It shouldn't be any odd. It should be they did these things, then Upar Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Nischat Shah Torah. That's what the Rambam should have said. It's like, it's an amazing Rambam. It's almost unintelligible.
What?
Contradictory. Contradicts himself from Hilchos Eivah right before. Because Hilchos Eivah and Hilchos Malacha. Hilchos Eivah is one parak before. Okay, one, not one parak. One, yes, it's one Indian before. Okay, now, there's an interesting machlokas rishonim, very interesting machlokas rishonim, about what was the status of the people before Matan Torah, like Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, and the Shiftei Korah. What were they? What were they considered? So it's interesting. The Chachmei Tzorfas, the Bali Teisvis, maintain that they were really Bnei Noach. That's it. Okay. The Ramban disagrees. It's really the Ramban is in the end of Parshas Emor. Okay. Ramban says yes. The case of the Vayikov Ben Ish Mitzri Es Hashem Vayakal. The case of the Makalel. Okay, the case of the Makalel in the end of Parshas, in the end of Parshas Emor. So there's a Chazal that says that this Makalel was really the son of a Benish Mitzri. Father was a Mitzri, and the mother was the mother was Jewish. Okay, that's what it was in the time of this wasn't the time of Matan Torah. So okay. But there's a lot of drush about who they were, but that's not important. But okay. Chazal said what the machlekes was, because he wanted to have a chelek in the shevet, and he couldn't because his shevet goes by the father, and his father was a guy, was a mitzri. So he was before Chas Hashem. Okay, so. So at any rate, there's a Chazal that says that he was Megaya. All right. So the question is, why was he Megaya? So why was he Megaya? So someone says, so the Bali Teisvis say, very simple answer: why was Megaya? He was Megaya because they were married, they were together before Matan Torah. So he was born before Matan Torah. Since he was born before Matan Torah, so after the halachic system was created by Sinai, so then anyone that's born, if the mother's Jewish, so then the child's Jewish, because the bein holech achar oem, right? Okay. Even though there is a machlokes rishonim on that, but anyways, that's the way we most rishonim hold that way. All right, yeah, most rishonim hold that way. Shouldn't publicize machlokes. But anyways, most Rishonim hold that way. So bein holech acharaim. But before Matan Torah, So the Gemara says Beumos Haloch Achar Ha'ov. In the nations you go by the father. So therefore this child was born before Matan Torah. So therefore he really wasn't Jewish. So therefore Tosfos says that's why he had to be Megayah. Very good. Okay. But the Ramban doesn't like it. He says Asafatamam Kitama Ges Neshaya Kodam Matan Torah. If you want to determine which, let's say for instance you have the different nations that you came to marry, so you want to know is the child from this nation or that nation. So how do you go? You go by the father. Okay. He says, I don't hold this way. Why? He says, from that moment on, He says the status was that they were a nation. The Gemara Amar Be'esa, the Dilma Yisrael Mumma Shiny. The Gemara talks about Esa. Gemara says the Gemara calls me Yisrael Mumma. Why is Yisrael Mumma? It's from Matan Torah. So the Ramban says no. It means the Gemara is not speaking in jest. It means literally because that's the Yisrael started from Avram. The Kal V'Chaima Adover, he says Imli Acham Matan Torah. He says a kalvachom, a guy is chayve laven. Now a liver intermarried. So he says so vein lo ba kedushin is no tefisas kedushin with a guy. He says if after matan Torah we say that he mikvah tahora leumos lahachsheres velado lios kamoha. That the mother is a metaher even after Matan Torah he says lo kol shekein kodam haTorah shetahe metaheres vlado lios kamoha lachayvo b'mila kezaro shel Avram v'yia mechlal b'nei Yisrael. The interesting thing, so the Ramban says that's a big machlekes shenri. They want to say it goes back goyim very big machlekes. What was the status of the people that were Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, but before Matan Torah? So the Ramban says that that they were considered really just like Klal Yisrael. It's an amazing thing. Why? What is this Machlekes Tullian? What's the Machlekes Tullian? The Machlekes is Tullian in what we were discussing. If you say Klal Yisrael is determined by the halach, by mitzvahs, you see, by the shmiras hamitzvahs, tayag mitzvahs, that's Klal Yisrael, then there's no question. So then there were Bnei Noach. Avram Avinu was a great person, but he still was a Bnei Noach, because you cannot be Yisrael until Matan Torah. As great as he was, that's insofar as Elam Haba is concerned, he was very great. But insofar as having a halacha of Yisrael, it's impossible because it's called a matan Torah. It's a Baal Teshuvah. That's the whole question. That's machlekes also. That's machlekes also. Okay, but even if you say he did other mitzvahs, so there's no kasha because he did the other mitzvahs ke'ena mitzvah v'aisa, like a ben Noach can also do mitzvahs. So it's not really a tarta d'sasra. You can maintain that Avram Avinu kept all the mitzvahs because he knew the mitzvahs of Nevuah, and you can maintain that he still was had a din of a Ben Noach. Not a contradiction. So Ben Noach, yeah, Ben Noach could also do the mitzvahs. Question is Shabbos. That's a good one. Okay, but anyways, but at any rate, so that I mean there are eights to answer that question. But at any rate, the we understand the Balei Tosfos. The Balei Tosfos are halachic, straight and clear. You have Tayag Mitzvah, so then you Yisrael. You don't have Tayag Mitzvah, so then you have Din Ben Ech. Now, what's the idea of Ramban? What does Ramban hold? The answer is Ramban hold precisely what we are discussing now. In other words, that from the time Vagadla Shemecha means from the moment that Avram Avinu became a separate phenomena, that he became recognized by the world as a separate nation, this group is different. Lo Yosachin Tinevola also be Yisrael, and what does it mean? It means that the Yisrael was recognized as a separate nation. As small as they were considered like an independent nation, and the world treated them like that. What does that mean to say? That means to say the character of the nation already existed, Kota Matantara. You see, Ramban quotes a beautiful pasuk. He says, "Vagoyim lo yischashov." Which pasuk is that? That's from Bilam Arasha, from the Nevuah of Bilam. By Bilam it says, when Bilam was Misnabe, of course Bilam was a Rasha, but everything he said was true, because it was Ayudei Nevuah. And what did he say? He says, "Heinom levodod yishkon uvagoyim lo yischashov." This is a nation that will live and dwell alone, and it will not be recognized among the other nations. So what does it mean? It's not redundancy. I spoke Friday, I said that there's a certain kind of experience of loneliness that only a great person could have. Why? Because a person to be alone is a very difficult thing. Very difficult thing. As tough as a person is, if you put it alone, is the most horrible phenomenon. People who are like marooned on islands, They gave descriptions. They write about the horrible, the loneliness is like intolerable. That's why they put it in the jails, don't they? Solitary confinement, right? So they know it's the most difficult thing to endure. So the I mentioned Friday. I said that every person satisfies, removes his loneliness in different ways. It doesn't have to be direct, like the Ram says in the Morning of Ruchim. The fact that you know that people are around, it also takes away a large degree of loneliness. Even if you're alone on a mountaintop, but you know there's a civilization out there, you know? It's the Ram's observation. But it's true also in other ways, that when people live the way other people, according to other people's value system, it also takes away the loneliness, because they feel they're doing something, that they're together with everybody. It's a certain camaraderie, which in the back of their minds is associated with people that endorse what they're doing. That takes away that you're not alone anymore, you see. But a great person, a great chacham, doesn't have that advantage. Why? Because a great chacham really is alone, because what people do does not determine his life, his lifestyle and his actions and his values. It's based purely on his mind and what he understands. So this person really, truly is alone. He doesn't have the satisfaction of the fact that other people are going along with him, the endorsement of other people. He's in a different kind of phenomena, you see. So that's Avraham Avinu. That's Avraham Avinu me'ever echad v'olam me'ever acher. The real difficulty is not so much the battle. The battle's he escaped, but the difficulty is to be me'ever echad, to know that the whole world is on the other side and it doesn't bother you. That's a difficult. That's a greatness. That was the greatness of Avraham. It's an internal greatness, just to be in line with reality. This is the truth, and that's it. Shem Elokim Enes. This is the truth. I don't care. It makes no difference that what people think. Yeah, it's a lekain etzolashen in their row. What do you say? The nafshi ke'ofol akol siya. That's it. That's the tefillah. So we recognize this perfection. But this quality of Avram is not just a quality in Avram, really. It's a quality in the entire nation. Quality that exists in the entire nation. What Avram did, everything, Maisavo Sim Labanim, means that that characteristic of being able to be, to have that kind of a courage, exists in every Jew, in all of Klal Yisrael. That's why Sigmund Freud was said. Why is it that two Jews were able to change the world in the last generation? Einstein and Freud, Einstein in physics and Freud in psychology. So Freud said, and he's right, he's a good psychologist. He said that the reason is because the Jew has learned to stand alone. He said he learned to stand alone because the whole world hates him. And he says, and that's why he's not afraid to come out with theories that go against every other thinkers are bound emotionally, because they can't really say something that nobody else, everybody's going to say you're crazy. Exactly. So when such thoughts start happening in their mind, they immediately push it down. I'm not going to go that direction. But the Jew, he says, is different. The only thing Freud missed was he didn't trace it back to the source, to Avraham Avinu, he should have said. That's the real source. Yes. Yeah, I'm not saying nobody in the world ever came up with anything. I'm just saying why, on the whole, Jews were the ones that changed the world, that changed the world more than anybody else. And Copernicus, if you want to talk about Copernicus made a physical discovery. Wasn't that great. You can't really compare Copernicus and Einstein. There's no comparison. No comparison. Copernicus is a great man. He's still for the truth. There's no question about it. I'm saying that only a Jew could have an idea. That's not true either. It's not true either. As Rama says, the Greeks had mathematics. It's true mathematics. Whatever a person, he says, if a person says the truth, we don't care if he's a Navi or if he's a guy. It doesn't make it the truth the truth. But I'm saying on the whole, in terms of, this is a fact. This is a fact, historical fact. In terms of the world, the shape of the world is mainly Jews. I mean, whether you're talking about the religious, or you're talking about philosophical, the psychological, the world of physics. I mean, in the last century, the ones who were most of the physicists were Jews. Most of these German names are Jews. So they're responsible for all the advances in terms of. I mean, I'm just talking in general. I'm not even talking in terms of the ratio of their population against the entire world. Then it's completely absurd how well represented they are. I mean, it's a fact. It's not a matter of conjecture. But anyways, where did that kayach come from? That's the kayach of Avraham Ivri. That's the Heinom Levodod Yishkon. That's what it means. That's what the pasuk means. Levodod means alone. Yeshev Bodod V'yidom. Yeshev Bodod V'yidom means that it's a sad thing, Yeshev. It means to say Bodod is alone and Yidom, he doesn't say anything. But that sadness, that's true. There's a loneliness there, but that loneliness is greatness. To be able to tolerate that being a Bodod is greatness. And the rest of the pasuk is V'agoyim lo yischashav. What does it mean, V'agoyim lo yischashav? It means that they, the Goyim, also recognize that there's something different about these people, and they never can be olalamin with them. They never recognize them as a regular nation. So Rashi says over there that when they have simchas, they don't include Jews. They're different. They sense that there's something different about this people. You see, that's something that even trickles down, even with anti-Semitism, even among Jews that aren't even from anymore. It's an amazing thing. Even people that are far removed from Torah, still the anti-Semitism rages in the same horrific manner, same insane expression. Why is that so? The reason is, of course, because it's not totally in the Shemiras HaMitzvah. They recognize there's something different among this. Among this group, character of the people is different. The same thing. You read the Megillah, what Haman said, you can say exactly today. Same thing. They're different. The same Shonos and the same Melech, and they're against the government and all these things and their international conspiracies. They're the same exact thing. You can read the writing of thousands of years ago, and the exact same thing, just like it was written today. The hatred stem. That's the pasuk. Hainam lefada yishkan adayim leyischasha. So the character, that's what the Ramban mentions. He says, once it was Bris Avram, he says, Hoy Yisrael of Agoyim Leishashvu. From that moment on, they knew there's something different about about this group. This group is a different group. Okay? Yes. Comedians, 60% of the comedians are Jews. Yeah.
What?
80. Yeah. If what you're saying were true, you'd have a different world, basically. How many people really think, of course, what's the satisfaction of Avram? What's the satisfaction of the Jew? The satisfaction of the Jew is that he knows he's right. See? That's why the world hates him so much, because they could tell he knows he's right. You see? The problem with the Jew, unfortunately, is he doesn't hide it too much either. A Jew has a certain arrogance, no question about it. No question about it. That was the arrogance of the other nation centered, especially the hatred expressed itself in the religious sphere, where the Goyim have a religion that's basically stupidity, and they know, the Jews know this. This is like intolerable. Okay? The Jews simply never took it seriously. I mean, they never entertained the idea, the concept. So, and it came from a Jewish source, too. I mean, that was intolerable. But, yeah, that's the area where the hatred really is. The flames are really... yeah, right. That's crazy altogether. The whole thing's crazy. But anyways, the greatest... Yeah. What I'm saying is that the satisfaction of being in line with reality is a very abstract kind of thing. If a person would realize he's alone with God, Adam Marisha, okay? Nobody in the world is on the right track. The person says, I'm alone with this reality that no one, no human being recognizes. He's alone with God. And his idea of God is not the kind of idea that lends itself to that kind of satisfaction either. Because the God of Klal Yisrael is a different God than what the Lahavdil Umos Olam have an idea of God. It's a different kind of a God. It's not a God that satisfies the emotions, just the projection of emotions. It requires a whole deep analysis to understand what you're talking about. You see, when you say the word God, and you need to know the Gimli Karim. You have to know what it means. You have to understand it. It's not so pasha. So that idea of God, to be alone with that, is extremely, extremely difficult. But the... even Noach, that's right, that's correct. Even Noach, Hakadosh Baruch Hu told him, but he still was very lonely, was very depressed. He took the grapes and got drunk because he couldn't take it. It bothered him, being alone. Avram Avery was the first one that could do that. Totally alone, doesn't bother. Okay. There's a long process where we explain, Lech Lecha Me'atzecha Me'ladcha Me'beisovicha was a long process until he came completely to that level. He was alone, wandering alone, away from his family, his origins, his friends, everyone that he knew. It took him a long time. It took him years of wandering, but he reached that level. Okay. So, yeah. So, you see, the way things are passed down, it's a different kind of a system. It's not genetics. Because, you see, some of the greatest Chachmei Yisrael are Gerim. I mean, Unklus, right on the side of the Chumash, is Ger. And Rabbi Akiva's father was a Ger. Rabbi Meir's father was a Ger. It's not genetics. That's it. Rabbi Akiva, the biggest Talmud Chacham. So it's not genetics. It's a different kind of phenomena, we don't really even believe so much in terms of simply the physical genetics. We believe in something else. We believe in a transference of characteristics. Transference of characteristics from one generation to another. That's our Masorah. It means that Yadus pulls on certain... Torah pulls on certain strings in a person's soul. And when that happens, a different kind of person emerges. You see? Now, even a person that's removed, it's an amazing thing, even though the offshoots, people are removed from Torah, you cannot imagine how much they retain just from the periphery. See, like Albert Einstein knew nothing about Torah. Basically nothing, because he was raised by people that weren't religious. Germany, they're all non-religious there. Abandoned the religion. When do you see a Jew that loses this quality? A Jew that has lost the quality of a Jew? Not if he's not religious. It comes from a Shemit. That means he has lost it. Then he has, there's no shyness anymore to the characteristic of a Jew. Meshumet, he's a convert. He does that, then he's not a Jew. That's it. Well, he lost it. A minute to sit shiva, somebody like that. I mean, he's dead. He's gone. But short of that, the person retains the kid. And what's the reason? The reason is very simple. The reason is just to say that you're a Jew requires that kind of a courage. To a degree. It's not the, you know, like I say, they're varying degrees, but the quality is there. For a person just to say he's a Jew requires that kind of a courage. Avram Ivri means the moment you say you're an Ivri, that's it. There's a certain kind of courage. With Yonah. Vayama land Ivri Anochi. That's it. That was Gavas. That way he didn't hide it. So at any rate, so let's get back to this. So the point I want to make is that this characteristic, it started from when, really? The characteristic started from Avraham Avinu. The Machlokas Rishonim is simply, what is the halacha of Ben Noach and Ben Yisrael? When do you have the when exactly do these categories come into play? According to the Bali Tesfis, they maintain it's dependent upon the halachic system. That's the term you see that. According to the Ramban, no, it's the characteristic of the nation. And the characteristic of the nation really began with Avraham Avinu, because they were a separate nation from that time on. Their own mintage. They had they were recognized as a different kind of a group, separate nation. The world recognized as a separate nation. The nation began with Avraham Avinu. So according to the Ramban, they had Kedushas Yisrael even before Matan Torah. That's Hainom Levodad Yishkon of Agoyim Le'Yishchashov. That's the Pasuk quotes. That's the Pasuk. Because you see, they're an Am from when? The moment they have that quality of Bodod Hainom Levodad Yishkon. The moment you have that, that's when it's an Am. Hainom Levodad Yishkon of Agoyim Le'Yishchashov. When did they become an Am? When they become that kind of a phenomenon. And that's what we're saying about Avinu. He was the Bodod and also of Agoyim Le'Yishchashov. It means he was considered a separate entity, separate phenomenon. Okay, that's Ramban Shita. That's Machlokes Rishonim. Yes. Your question is, what's Bris Avram? Bris Avram goes back to the time of Avram, but Mitzvah Torah is Chash Halacha. Right? It's a good question. What? So, you shouldn't do, Mila shouldn't be Avram, Mila should be Ksinai. Right? Yeah. The answer is that that what Avram Avinu accomplished was, Avraham Avinu, something was added there by Avraham Avinu. You see, that goes back to another question. The question is, what is this in the Bris Bein Absorim and the Bris Mila? They're both two parshas, one next to the other in the Torah. So what was added in Bris Mila that wasn't in Bris Bein Absorim? Bris Bein Absorim, God said, I'll give the land to you. Bris Mila, same thing. It's practically repetitious. So what is the difference? What's the difference? The difference was in Bris Mila, Avraham was Mechadish, a new thing. And that is that the bris is tied, it's the same bris, but the bris became tied to the personality of one individual, Avram. His personality became a component of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Recognition, that's what the Pasuk says, is Halech Lefonei Ve'yeh Asanim. Walk before me and be perfect. Why? Because you will be a model and a person that's what it says in Pregeris, that Avram was chativa achas ba'olam. He was like an entity. God made him into an entity. It means to say that this personality is for us, the personality, this individual is a component of the system. Now, when Sinai took place, Sinai simply endorsed the Bris Avram. Sinai didn't take away Bris Avram. After Sinai, it wasn't necessary to have the effects of the Bris Avram. Because after Sinai itself is Bris Haaretz and everything, mitzvahs, and you don't need the guarantees anymore from Sinai. The guarantee that Avram received was already replaced by the guarantee to Klal Yisrael. So you don't need the effects of the bris, but the fact that Avraham Avinu, the gavra of Avraham, that he is an entity that we relate to in terms of recognition of his perfection, and the recognition of that perfection of that gavra as a component was rendered into a mitzvah, this Sinai endorsed. And Sinai said that Bris Avraham will always remain. That's Nitna Torah, it's Chach Shalach, is not attached to the Sasri to Bris Mila. The Torah says that which Avram accomplished, that he was the person that was a Tamim, and that he was, and that's why Mitzvah's Mila was related to this individual. He was a component of the, you can't speak of Bris Mila without Avram. There's no such thing. Bris Mila Avram, you have to have the Gavra of Avram became recognized as an important medium through which to relate to perfection. So Avraham Avinu, he was the governor, he was the perfected man. That God is endorsed, and that's why when we do Mila, it's not just Mitzvah's Mila because of a Maisa Mitzvah, but it's Mitzvah's Mila tied to Avraham Avinu, and Avraham became incorporated into the institution of Avraham and Mila became incorporated into the whole system of Torah. And even though it was superseded by the the haftachos were superseded by the haftachos in the Torah. So you don't need the original haftachos anymore in terms of haftachos. But in terms of the institution of Avram and Mila, that institution was endorsed by the Torah. That's what it means, really. That's what it means. Okay? That's the bracha. The bracha says, l'chniso b'vriso shel Avram Avinu. It means that even if the Matan Torah, it didn't become just an isolated mitzvah. It became a mitzvah that's tied to the gavra of Avram and to the special covenant that was made between HaKadosh Baruch and Avram. He is, it's not simply an endorsement of the Maisa mitzvah. Endorsement of the whole institution of the mitzvah which brings along Avram Avinu. That's why you have the second bracha there, Lachnis Mavrishal Avram Avinu. First bracha is Alamila. Mitzvah Smila Lacha Matan Torah. Then that's the Torah's Chashalach. That's the first bracha. The second bracha is Lachnis Mavrishal Avram Avinu. Because the bris isn't, not the Torah didn't just say it's a Maisa mitzvah now. The Torah said the Gavra of Avram has to be always an integral component of the mitzvah. Avram Avinu is always there. Okay. Now let's take the Rambam. I think what the Rambam means like this. See, what the Ram means is, the Ram, by the way, held that they were B'nai Noach. The Ram held they were B'nai Noach, the Avos, from a letter that he wrote. Because they asked the Rambam about perfection, if a guy can have perfection. So the Ram says, certainly, because you see that the Avos were B'nai Noach. But anyways, that's it. So he brings another beautiful proof. He says, the question is Kedushas Yisrael? That's the question. Is Kedushas the, and the nafkamina would be with regard to that Ben Mitzri over here, Ruben Ish Mitzri. That's the nafkamina. But the question is Kedushas Yisrael. Everybody agrees that there's a difference. Nobody holds it no difference. The Rambam happened to hold the Ben Enoch, but the Rambam, there was a Rambam over here. So I think what the Rambam means like this. Rambam means, he says, Hosef unoch ez menachai shenemach bosa benaf shadom lo sochelu nimtzu sheva mitzvahs. Okay. The Rambam seems to pause over here. Nimtzu sheva mitzvahs. V'chein hoya dover b'chol ha'olam ad Avram. Bo Avram nitztave yeser al elu b'mila. Okay? And then he daven shachris and then Yitzchak and Yaakov and the whole thing. It's an interesting thing. He doesn't mention. I think you want to ask the question. He doesn't mention what? Yavetz Mitzrayim. That's an excellent question. Yeah. Why doesn't he mention that? All right. As a matter of fact, the Rishonim that maintain that Avelus Shiva is the right, or the Gainim that maintain it, that's what they quote. Vayas love Avelus Shiva Shaman. It's interesting. He doesn't mention it. Okay. It's a good question. Why he doesn't mention it? Yosef was the one that started of he kept the Avelus. He kept the Avelus. Okay. Yeah, so maybe we'll answer that question if we go a little further. But let me understand over here. So what the Rambam means like this. I think what the Rambam means like this. You see, the Rambam also maintains, like the Ramban, that it was a separate group. That really the nation began from Avram. The question is whether they have a Dina ben Noach or not. That's a separate question. But the character of the nation began from the time of Avram. What the Rambam maintains is like this. The Rambam maintains part of the character of Klal Yisrael is Shmiras HaMitzvos. Shmiras HaMitzvos. That itself is a characteristic. To be associated with mitzvahs. Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach is not enough. Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach is very nice at a basic level. But that's not enough to have the character of Yisrael. So that's what the Rambam says. Bo Avram v'nitztava alamila. Who is Paul Shachris? And Yitzchak was Meiser and was Mincha. And Yaakov was Giranashe and was Arvis. And Amram received other mitzvahs. Ad Sheba Moshe Rabbeinu V'nishlamo Torah Al Yado. What does he mean? Of course, Nitna Torah is Chash Halacha, is a halachic phenomena. It's a logical halachic phenomena. Everything has to start from Sinai. It's impossible to understand the halacha otherwise. But the characteristic of Klal Yisrael is a certain tie to mitzvahs. When did this tie to mitzvahs begin? That was after Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. That was with Avram Avinu. And that's a quantitative difference between Avram Avinu and between Tayag. Of course, that's what Ram means. V'nishlamo Torah al yado. In one respect, Matan Torah is a qualitative phenomena. Different thing. Matan Torah is Chach Halacha. That's in a halachic respect. In terms of halacha, Matan Torah is Chach Halacha. But in another respect, insofar as the quality of Shmiras HaMitzvos, how you relate to a mitzvah Hashem, that's a characteristic of Klal Yisrael. That's a unique characteristic. That characteristic, the first one who had that experience, Avram Avinu. And the difference between Avram and between us in terms of the character of Shmiras HaMitzvahs is a quantitative one, not a qualitative one. It's really a pasuk. Ekev Hashashoma Avram Bekoli Vayishma Mishmati Mitzvosai Chukosai Vesorosai. So since Ekev, why was Avram so great? Because Avram Shema Bekoli Vayishma Mishmati. And he kept and he kept my I should say mishmeres would be that which guards that which guards mishmeres is something which guards something. It means guards the soul. Mishmati mitzvosei chukosei v'sarosei. You have three things: mitzvosei chukosei v'sarosei. So that's what Chazal really based the idea that he kept all the mitzvahs, because we're all these mitzvosei chukosei v'sarosei. The Rambam just says that it doesn't necessarily mean, the pasuk doesn't necessarily mean that he had all the mitzvahs. What it means, he had the relationship to mitzvahs, that's for sure. Shama mishmati mitzvosai chukosai v'sarosai. What's the mishmeres for the person? What really safeguards the person? So, is mitzvosai chukosai v'sarosai. He had experienced, he had that experience. You don't need a lot to experience. And Mila's, and Mila itself is mitzvahs, halachas, is it's a chok how to do the mitzvahs, and it means also not only that, but it means also that he related to Shefa Mitzvah Ben Erech in a different way. That's what it means. To also, it means that the character of Shmiras HaMitzvahs is a different kind of nature, you see, Shmiras HaMitzvahs between the Yisrael and between a guy. Shefa Mitzvahs Ben Erech is different. The characteristic of Shmiras HaMitzvahs began relating to mitzvahs properly, in the way Yisrael relates to mitzvahs, that began with Avraham Avinu. And because of that, he had a certain kind of perfection in relationship to mitzvahs Hashem. Ekev Hashem Avraham Bekovishma Mishmati Mitzvosei Chukosei V'sarosei. How many? I don't know how many there were. Doesn't matter how many. The number's not important. The important thing is that he had that characteristic. Same characteristic as Klal Yisrael had. You say the same pasuk about Avraham Avinu, say about Klal Yisrael. The question is, according to the Rambam, what the Rambam says, it's only a question of how many. But the quality of Shemiras HaMitzvahs is exactly the same. That's what the Rambam means over here. Okay. Yeah, that's...
Especially the fact that
Rambam holds it. You're right. That's a good point also. Why did the Rambam mention the tefillah? That's also, tefillah is only, according to the Rambam, it's a chiyuv d'oraisa once a day. But according to this, actually, it's very good. Because what it's showing you is, see, tefillah really, what is tefillah? I mean, proper tefillah. Improper tefillah is, you have a lot of improper tefillah. But proper tefillah is a difficult thing. Proper tefillah means a person, first of all, the idea of God has to be clear. I mean, that's number one. I mean, there are people that know what they mean when they say HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have distorted notions, distorted ideas. And tefillah has to, tefillah in the proper framework, a person is drawn to tefillah. It's not a person's coerced. It means he doesn't understand tefillah, he doesn't understand, doesn't have the proper idea of God. But what it's telling you is that the Avos HaMesakin, Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv, it means that the relationship to HaKadosh, it's defining the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillah really defines a certain relationship to God, to reality, to the source of reality. So on the contrary, that's why the Rambam mentions tefillah, because that really shows you the perfection of the person, the perfection of the person, how a person relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where the perfection actually is. Tefillah is Voshe Balei. What I don't want to take up now is like this. I'd like to just, yeah. Now it's an interesting thing, but how the goyim related to Klal Yisrael? How the goyim related to Klal Yisrael is according. What I want to say is one thing. There's one difference though. There's one difference between the goyim relating to Klal Yisrael, Koda Matan Torah and La'acha Matan Torah. What's the difference? The difference is what Chazal say. That why is it called Har Sinai? Shemisham Yarda Sina Le'umos Olam. Okay. It's a play on words. I don't know if Chazal really means that that's the meaning of the word Sinai, but the Chazal have a habit of using words to as a reminder, like a memory hook. So, Shemisham Yarda Sinai Lo Masalon. So what does it mean to say? But they didn't hate Avram, they didn't hate Yitzchak. They hated them also. They hated them also. Paro didn't, the Egyptians didn't hate Yosef. You read behind the scenes, they're trying to get rid of him. Anything they could do to throw him over, they could try to throw him over. And now he had a big power. Please let me go and bury my father. Like Avish Biani Lamar. And then the power said, if it weren't for the Shua, I wouldn't let you go. There was a hatred, a sinner, but they needed Yosef, so they used him. But Yosef was always in peril, always staying, using his mind, his wits to stay on top of to maintain his position over there. So the sinner was there. But what Chazal mean apparently is that there was a difference between the sinner before Sinai and the Sinai after Sinai. It's a difference, an interesting thing. But you take a look at the last week's sedra, Parshas Vayechi. You see a very funny kind of, it's a good idea, let's take a look inside the Chumash. The Psukim are very funny over here. And the Torah has a style that when the Psukim don't flow properly, there's something wrong. What the Torah is doing is, through that method, the Torah is concealing certain ideas. You see, sometimes the Torah conceals the ideas because the Torah doesn't want people in general to know it. At other times, the Torah doesn't conceal the idea so much as the Torah can't spend time in explaining the idea. It would require a separate parsha. Okay, and the Torah is not going to do that. It's a different kind of thing. Torah Shebichsav has one aim, and parenthetically, it drops off the ideas. The way it does it is by changing things, don't flow properly. It's a hint. It teaches you. Look, there's something to look for there. The last week's parsha is like an unbelievable thing. Take a look. And I don't see too many people that explain it either. Okay. It's the last parak in Vayechi, the last page. In the big chumash over here is the last page. It's 119 I have. 118, 119. Okay. So It speaks about how Yosef told Paro, he asked him, please, Imno Matsasi Chain Be'enechem, after 40 days, Pasuk Dalav, Vayavim Evechiso, Vaydaba Yosef, El Beis Paro Lamar, okay, Vayivko Somitzrayim Shivin Yom, okay, and then it says Vayabri Mevechiso Vayadaba Yosef O Beis Paralema In No Matzasichem Beinechem Dabu No Bosnei Paralema Avi Yishbani Lemar Hinei Enochem Es Bekivri Shakaris Li Beres Kanan Shoma Tikbarini Vato Elano Vekbar Saviv Hashua. He guaranteed him he's coming right back. So Vayoma Parale Yukvar Savicha Kasherish Biecha. So go and bury your father just like he made you swear. You see, he emphasized the fact that because he swore, that's why I'm letting go. Yeah. And Yosef was also, you see in the previous passage, exactly, Yosef was very cautious to say, I'm coming right back. I'm not going to be detained over there. This is not a personal, in other words, he had to remove the fact that he's going on a personal mission, really, that has anything to do with Klal Yisrael and Kvura Baretz and Chevron and Kiryas Arba and Maras HaMachpelah. He had to keep away from all those terms. So, and anyways, okay, then it says like this. Then it says, Vayalima gam rechav gam parashim, vayah machane kovid ma'od. And then it says, Vayavo ad garen ha'atod. Funny thing, they came to the garen ha'atod, asher be'evar ha'yardim, vayispidu sham mispeg godel v'chavid ma'od. Alright? This is a funny place to make an hesped. Why? Why do they do it in Garon Atad? Where should the Hesped have been? Maras HaMachpelah. Okay? Before the Kvura, Maras HaMachpelah, that's where they should have had the Hesped. Right? Nope, something happened over there. Garon Atad. What is this Garon Atad? Okay, there's a matter. We'll get back to Chazal. But the main thing is to understand the Pshut Hashem Mikra first. Okay? So you see something funny over here. They came to this Garon Atad. What is this? Then it says, Vayas Loviv Evel Shivas Yamin. So he made avelus for 7 days. What's wrong with this? He didn't bury him yet. Avelus starts after Stimas Agolel. So what does it say? Vayas lo avel shivas yamim. That's not the time to make an avel shivas yamim. So you say the pasuk is not in the right place. Okay. But then take a look at the next pasuk. Vayah Yosef ha'oretz ha'knani es ha'evel begorin ha'atad. sounds like the Avelis was there. I mean, you really have to corrupt the Pusik to say that there was no Avelis before. It's a Avel Asher Begarnat. The Rishu said, Vayar Yoshev Horetz Akinani Es HaHesped. Es HaMisped Begarnat. No, it says it's a Avel Begarnat. Vayomu Avel Kovizel Mitzrayim. Okay, Korshmo Avel Mitzrayim Asher Beveyard. Okay? Then it says the next Pusik. Also, a funny Pusik. Vayasu Vonov Lo Kain Kasher Tzivam. What does it mean? Well, what is Vayasu Vonov Lo Kain Kasher? What? Did what? There's no need to say this. What was the Tzivui was? The Torah goes explains it very clearly. The Tzivui was that he's supposed to take him and bury him in Maaretz HaMachpelah. So what do you need this Vayasu Vonov Lo Kain Kasher Tzivam? Then it says, Vayisu also Vanov Arzor Kenan, Vayikbu also Mors Vemach Pela. Fine, Ashakon Avon Sosor, who's covered Shabn Achid, Shabn Amar? Good. Then Vayoshiv Yesu Shayim, Uvech Vachol Olamita Likbar Soviv, Achare Kavar Soviv. Fine, that's the end of the story. Funny kind of a story. Nothing seems to follow here. It doesn't follow properly. Okay? I think if you take a look over here, you see, if you take a look over here, Interesting thing. That if you take a look over here, you see that there's something happening. Something happened over here, very unusual. First, it's like I said, Ovi Yish Biani Lemor Hine Anochi Meis Bekivri Asher Karisi Li Beretz Kenan Shomotik Bereni Va'ato Eleno Va'egburo Es Ovi Vashuva. Right? Okay. By the way, there's another strange thing here, and that is that how many times were they misabel for him? It says already before in Pasuk Gimel, Vayimlu Yelo Arboim Yom, Kikin Yimlu Yimechanutim, Vayifku Oso Mitzrayim Shivim Yom. Long time. And now what? Now Vayasu Oviv Evel Shivas Yomim. Wait, how many Avelis do you have for one person? All right, it's an awful long Avelis, right? Yeah. So the thing is like this, that. So then, after the first they did the chanita, the embalming, and the whole thing, like the Egyptians do, and then they had But anyways, I'm not going to get a lot of answers for this. But plain shot is Kedem Matan Teres. No answer. But anyways, he had to do it apparently because he was in Egypt. He wouldn't have done it on his own. He had to do it. He was the Shemi Lamelach. I mean, he couldn't just say that this is a crazy thing. So they did the he had to do the bombing, and then Vayifka Samasrayim Shivim Yom. Okay, then Vayavri Mevachiso. That was it. They stopped crying from already. Vayadabu Yosef a base paralema. What did he say? Ovi Yish Biani Lemar. Hinei Anochi Meis Bekivri Ashakaris Li Beretz Kenan. And he says, now please, Elinor Vekbros of Yeshua. So what a para say, Vion Paralei. Go. What's the implication? The implication is he told, alright, the Avelis is all over. That's it. Shivim Yom and this and everything. We gave him the full ceremony for a great citizen, okay, of Egypt. But now go, you have to do this little thing, go and bury him, that's it. But then, take a look at the next pasuk. Vayal Yosef Likbar es Aviv, Vayalu Ito Kol Avdei Faro Ziknei Veso V'chol Ziknei Eretz Mitzrayim. It's an amazing phenomenon. All of a sudden, there was a spontaneous, what happened was, all of a sudden there was a spontaneous recognition among the people, among the Ziknei Mitzrayim, that they were drawn to go and to follow Yaakov to his burial place. It's an amazing thing. Because all Parasei was a lay across the Kashesh Biyachu. He told him, go do what you have to do, that's it, and then come right back. But you see, all of a sudden, then they take a look. V'chol beis Yosef, v'echov beis Aviv, rak tapam v'tzonam v'kar mozabaretz Goshen. Okay, of course, that we understand. But then the next Pasuk Tes. Vayal imo gam rechev gam parashim. I want you to know, vayal imo is not a transitive verb. It doesn't mean vayal imo, that he brought up with him. Vayal imo means, and they went up with him. You see the way Tegel Munkla says, uslikuime. It doesn't say usolikime. Uslikuime. It's a form of the verb. Vayalimo means, and they automatically went up. Vayalimo, you see from the next pasuk. Vayalimo gam rechev gam parashim. I mean, from this pasuk, you see. What does it say? Vayhi hamachane kaved ma'od. The Torah is describing something unique here. The Torah is describing an aveilus that just automatically, spontaneously, Mitzrayim was moved to go along with Yosef against the wishes of Paro. Paro really said, go, take him and bury him and then come back already. Let's get back to business. But all of a sudden, there was somehow or other, people started to move. The Rechev and Parashim and the Zikne Mitzrayim, and they all went and they all accompanied Yosef. What was Vayavoa at Gorin Ha'otar, Asher Be'eva Yadim, Vayispirushon, Mispeid Godol V'choveid Ma'od? This is a continuation of the same phenomena. What does it mean? It means they couldn't wait until they came to Hebron. You see, they couldn't wait. It's the moment that when they got to Goran Atad, it was a spontaneous phenomena. And they could not wait until they went to Hebron. But somehow or other, they couldn't wait any longer, and they said, now we have to be maspid, this great individual. It was spontaneous, you see? It's an amazing thing. The psukkim are really showing you a phenomenon behind the scenes that took place in Mitzrayim that wasn't planned. It wasn't, Paro didn't even entertain such an idea, because already he gave him, it turns out that there were two kinds of funeral services for Yaakov Avinu. One was the regular funeral service of the state. That was the embalming and the general, great man, so they legislate, a great man is a bakiyah of 70 days. Okay, so the whole country shows that they're mourning for the great person 70 days. But then when Yosef decided to take him to the Maros and Machpelah, and Yosef really hid the whole idea of the special phenomena of the Maros and Machpelah, the Sodash HaKona Avram, what it means to be buried in Maros and Machpelah, that it wasn't just for him, it was for a whole future nation would be tied to this spot, to Hebron. He didn't even emphasize, he didn't want to talk about it, he was afraid Paro get angry. But you see, the people, somehow or other, they saw Yosef is going, Maros and Machpelah, and they started to recognize that this man was not nispad properly. The hesped, the state's hesped, is not the hesped for Yaakov Avinu. They recognized that this individual had represented a different kind of greatness, a greatness that's above, beyond, qualitatively differentiated than any kind of great citizen of Egypt. And they saw that Yosef is taking him to Hebron, to Maros and Machpelah. They knew why. They knew because it's tied to Avram, because the concept of Avram was Vagadlo Shemecha was known in the world, and they recognized that the only hesped for Yaakov Avinu is the true hesped, is the hesped that involves his son Yosef and Cholachov and Besov of taking Yaakov to his real destination, which is the Maaros HaMachpelah, that which makes him unique, that which gives him Kedushas Yisrael. They recognize the Kedushas Yisrael. It's an amazing thing. It's a spontaneous, automatic outflow of emotion, outpouring of emotion and recognition of who Yaakov was. And they disregarded the whole previous hesped was worthless. It was nothing. This is his hesped. And they came to Goran Atah. They couldn't even wait to get to Hebron. Goran Atah, they had to stop it already and be maspid. See the pasuk says by Yisbudushim. Emphasizes. Why does it emphasize Godol v'choved ma'od? Because the size of the hesped shows the cause of the hesped. Why they couldn't wait to get to Hebron. Because the emotions were so strong that they had to stop right there and do the hesped. You see? Now Chazal, of course, come in. What does Chazal say? Chazal say that what was this Goran Atah? Because Chazal, not because Chazal disagree with what we're saying, the plain shot in the pasuk. But Chazal maintained with their sharpness that it's true that you can have spontaneous emotion, but it still isn't normal to say that when you reach a certain place without any event that it's going to automatically initiate a kind of a hesped. Something must have happened over there. So what does Chazal say? Chazal says, Rashi says, Chazal say like this. Chazal say, Rav Asena Darsho Hashem HaMa'ora. Something, an event happened over there. The basic pshat is right, that they couldn't wait. But there was an event that really caused this kind of an emotional outpour. What was the event? It says, Shebo kol malchei Kanaan, Rashi says, in the sea Yishma la'mochama. They came to war. To war with whom? With whom did they go to war? To? With Yosef. They wanted to go to war. They didn't want him. They didn't want this husband. They were antagonistic. The Chivan Shero Kisro Shel Yosef Toli Ba'arono Shel Yaakov Amdu Kulam V'Tolu Bo Kisrayim. So they saw that Yosef's crown is hanging on the Yosef hung his crown on the Aron on the coffin of Yaakov. So it says Amdu Kulam V'Tolu Bo Kisrayim the Kifu. So the crowns have like pointy. So they surrounded all their crowns. They surrounded Yaakov's coffin with all the crowns. That's why it's called the Goren Ha'atar. Okay, because the Yerushalmi says, Chazan HaKol HaMikvah, Lom Tzino Makom Goren, there's no such place. The name of the Torah over here, the Torah is the name because of an event, not because of, like many times, names come from events in the Torah. So what it means is, what was the story? Interesting story. They really came to do battle with Yosef, right? They came to battle. Suddenly they changed their mind. Why did they change their mind? What did they see? So it says they saw that Yosef's crown is on Yaakov's arm. So what? What it means like this. What it means is, and this is really a truism insofar as the hatred and the, you see, when you say hatred for the Jew, you can't just say hatred for the Jew. Because it has to be hatred / recognition. Because hatred and recognition goes together. The hatred is because of the unconscious recognition. They do recognize you. Yeah, the jealousy, the envy, the fear. It's more than an envy, really. Einstein wanted to say that anti-Semitism retraced envy. I think it's much more than envy. It's really fear. Tremendous fear. What is the great fear? The great fear is that the Jew is right. That the Jew is right. If the Jew is right, then there is a, then the whole, everything that the guy does is completely, he's completely out of reality. That's it. If the Torah is right, it's very frightening. That's why the guy has a fear of the Jew. That's why I see the guy says the Jew. It's the same Nazis, Yimach Shemam, that say that the Jew is inferior. They say the Jew controls the world. But to them, controlling the world is supposed to be superior. So I could both be true. What's the answer? The answer is it's not there. The answer is on the tremendous unconscious fear of the Jew, because the fear is that what the Jew, that something in involved in the Jew is true. That's mainly his ideas. His idea, and it goes back to Torah. Because the anti-Semitism is always against Torah. You see from the portrayal of by the Achashverosh, that what was it? It was the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Wasn't the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash? There's plenty of Kelim. But the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash is to prove to himself there's nothing, no power in these Kelim. I could use them just like as if they're nothing. Trying to convince himself. And what is he? The arch of Titus, the Arch of Triumph in Rome. You take a look at the arch today. What is there? The Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. And the anti-Semitism of the guy, really, the core, the center is, do you know what the center is really? What is the center? The center is what? What is the center? The center is Teresh Baal Peh. That's the center. Teresh Baal Peh. The target, the arrow goes, the what do you call it? The bullseye, the center is really Teresh Baal Peh. That's what they're really aiming for. And the biggest anti-Semite, as far removed as he is, knows about Talmud. If you take a look at Stryker, was the historian for the Nazis, and you look at the things he wrote, he shows the rabbi teaching Talmud. Pictures of the rabbi teaching Talmud. And what did the, somebody told me, Danny Wolf told me, he was in Washington, and he went to the Holocaust Museum, the new museum there. So they had from Yimach Shemo Goebbels, they had a statement from him. What was the statement? I don't know exactly the quote, but the statement was that there will be no more hair-splitting Jewish intellectuality. That's what he said. What is this hair-splitting Jewish intellectuality? What was he talking about? Talking about learning Torah, everybody recognizes it. The anti-Semite, really, the fear, the dread, there's a dread, I would say a dread more than a fear. There's a dread that what the Jew, something about the Jew is correct, and that dread is what really inspires the whole hatred of anti-Semitism. So the anti-Semitism, you've got to speak about the hatred and recognition of the Jews, simultaneous. Both are true. Yes. So over here you see that there's an ambivalence. They feel two ways about the Jew, but the hatred of the Jew, at least Kodem Matan Torah. See, Kodem Matan Torah, the hatred of the Jew was only when the Jew is actively successful. Then the hatred was in the foreground. But the recognition was always there. That's the whole idea of the recognition of Avram as a separate Ummah, even among the other nations. They viewed him ambivalently. Kilo yuchlun ha-mitchim lechol ha-sevim lechem. Separate. Kiso-eva, it's disgusting, but at the same time, the Jew is disgusting, but at the same time, they recognize him. You see, no tie to the sasri. No tie to the sasri. He's running the whole world, and he's the lowest person in the world. Same time, no tie to the sasri. That was the same way. The qualities were the same, but there was one difference. The difference is like this. That what really evoked this evil? What evoked this evil? What evoked this Avelis was the recognition that Yaakov was gone. His Misa. Once his Misa became clear to everyone, everybody recognized that he was dead, then they recognized his greatness. You see, that's the same thing that happened when the Bnei Yishmael, when the Bnei Yitzchak, when Yosef was taking the Aron and they're going, this tremendous procession going to bury Yaakov Avinu. So what happened? They came to war because they couldn't tolerate the idea that this is, that they're going to have a great Avelis. After all, that Avelis is covered. See the cover with JFK, it's a whole national phenomenon. It's a procession and covered. It's covered Malchus. They didn't want to see covered Malchus. A Jew has covered Malchus. This was annoying them. But what happened was when they saw that his aura, his crown was on the aura of Yaakov, it showed one thing. What did it show? It showed that it has nothing, this procession has nothing to do with the present. Nothing to do with the present. It's not my covenant. Yosef is a Sheni Lamelach. It's not his covenant. It's not his covenant that's involved over here. The taking off the crown from the head of Yosef and putting it on the Aron meant this is a phenomena of the past, of a Yaakov that lived and died and doesn't exist anymore. Physically, he doesn't exist anymore, but it's a recognition of a life completely in the past. It has nothing to do with anything today. Yosef is not taking any cover. The crown is off his head. The crown is on the Aron Shel Yaakov. Once they sensed that it has nothing to do with Yosef's kavod in the present, you see, it was a phenomenon of the past, then they recognized, they were able to concede, to recognize he was great. He was a great man. Because it has nothing to do with the current. See, the hatred for the Jew is the current existence of Klal Yisrael. Current existence. As long as it's not current anymore, it's something of the past. That's a possibility. Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Zecher Tzadik Levracha means, during his lifetime, they hate the Tzadik. But Zecher is always Levracha. Why? Because he doesn't evoke any more hatred. Because he's gone. He doesn't bother anybody. He's something that exists in the past. Now we could all recognize that he was a great person. Yaakov, you know, when he's alive, they hated him. But the Nesfalai Vikuni, the Shmaten Yavesi, he's always lived in fear. But when he died, the moment they recognized that this is a different kind of aspect. It's a different kind of aspect. This aspect has nothing to do with the covenant of Mitzrayim, and even though all the Egyptians are there, it just has to do with a spontaneous phenomena that took place, that they recognized that he was gone, and they recognized his godless, you see. So when that happened, so the whole world recognized that the uniqueness of Yaakov Avinu, and the uniqueness of the characteristics that he had, that stemmed really from Avram Avinu. It's an amazing phenomenon. the moment he was gone. And it took a while, though. It was after the ceremonies, the Egyptian ceremonies, somehow or other, it settled in their mind that he was gone, you know, and that Yosef now is starting a whole new Avelis, a whole entire new Avelis. That's what the Pasuk says, by the way, so yes. Vayas lo Avel Shivas Yomim. Ordinarily, Avelis starts after Stimas Agola. That's ordinary Avelis. But over here, it was a different kind of Avelis. It was not an Avelis that was, because actually, when it says Vayas lo Avel Shivas Yomim, you wonder for who? Who? Because it's talking about Mitzrayim too. Was it for his family? Was it for his Mishpacha? Was it for, who was it for? The brothers? But it includes everybody here. The reason is like this. It is everybody. Because this kind of Avelis is not... Stimas HaGolel starts Avelis ordinarily because there's a certain emotion. You see, in Stimas HaGolel, a certain finality that starts the emotions. The person's gone forever. That's it. It's the finality there. That's an emotional Avelis. This was a different kind of Avelis. This was an intellectual Avelis. It was an Avelis based upon chachma and recognition of a great individual. Not because he missed him emotionally. He didn't even know him. The Egyptians didn't know him. It was purely intellectual. It's the kind of Avelis that has different parameters. It's the kind, for instance, Avelis, ordinary Avelis, you're not allowed to be misabel be more than a certain amount. And it shows there's something wrong. Your mind is your emotions and your mind not in the right place. But over here, you see Avelis, for instance, for Torah, as Avelis goes on. On and on, Avelis every year. You have the Avelis of the Sphira, Talmud Rabbi Akiva. You have Avelis Moshe Rabbeinu after Mincha. That's just an intellectual Avelis, a different kind of thing. So therefore, we're saying like this, that over here, when they recognized Yaakov Avinu, this Avelis really did not begin after Stimas HaGolel. Stimas HaGolel is a loch and emotional Avelis, non-intellectual Avelis. Over here, the Avelis came about through the recognition of the Goren HaOtad. Since it came about through the recognition of the Goren HaOtad, it was tied to a phenomena that brought to their minds the true ideas of Yaakov Avinu. The hatred subsided, and the godless Adam of Yaakov Avinu emerged, was in the foreground. The two ways that the people look at the Jew, the hatred and the respect, you see, the hatred subsided, was gone, and then the respect and the kavod emerged. Okay? So then you didn't have to wait for Stimas HaGolel. That was Vayas Loviv Evel Shivas Yom. The Shivas Yomim began right over there. I don't know how long they stayed there. It doesn't say. But the Shivas Yomim was the Haskalah, the beginning of the Shivas Yomim was over there. It was a different kind of Avelis. You see, different quality of Avelis because of the whole phenomenon. So it shows you one thing. It shows you that at least Kodah Matan Torah, that the hatred for the entity of Klal Yisrael, you see, is one that was removed in the past, not in the present. I was thinking about it. It seems to me that after Matan Torah, that even, I mean, Chalila, that if it should happen, such a thing, but Chalila, but even if Eli Yitzur, if Sona Yisrael, because Chazal said, Sona Yisrael were destroyed, that the Goyim would still hate us. You see? They would still hate us. I don't think it would make any difference. We would never go down in history as a great nation, even if we were a phenomenon of the past. Because once we became the Am HaNivchar, the hatred was sealed. Hatred was sealed. Because the Am HaNivchar means that God himself isolated this group and made them into a unique phenomena. Then the hatred is so great that even in the past it's intolerable. You see? Before Sinai, there was no bechira of the ummah on the part of the Rabbanu Shlalom like Sinai. Sinai was an official, Kadosh Baruch Hu himself designated, chose this nation. You see, before it was, of course, a great people, Avram Avinu was related to God. He was the one that he discovered God. So he initiated. The others initiated themselves. But I believe that after Matan Torah, Misham Yored HaSinah L'Umas Olam, the sin is much greater. And even in the past, we can't be tolerated. That's why you don't find, for instance, see over there, Yaakov Avinu was accepted. The whole world accepts Yaakov Avinu. The whole world's going to accept the Holy Guy? Never. The Rebbeinu Tam, the Rambam, all our Gedolim, and that's why the whole history of the history. You can't trust any history, by the way. The history is distorted. History is a distorted subject because the hatred for the Jew is. You see, what is history? Well, history when they take certain people and they highlight them. The Rambam never really attained his position that he deserves as a philosopher, as a thinker, as a great mind. There are things the Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim that are so advanced that they're in terms of physics, they're up to date and beyond. No one will ever even quote these Rambams. Saint Thomas Aquinas, who basically stole from the Rambam, and it's a known fact that he plagiarized the Rambam, but he's in the history books. The hatred for the Jew, La'acha Matan Torah, even in the past. Once we became the Am HaNivchar, doesn't matter. Even if we were the Rachman al-Islam, ceased to exist, we never would go down in history as a great nation. You see? It's a different kind of hatred. Okay. Alright, we'll stop there.
The link between, we're speaking about the physicists, you know, the great theoreticians in physics, in the world of physics, the great theoreticians. There's only one group of people that made the connection between Torah, between intellectuality in Torah, and between intellectuality in physics. There's only one group of people who made that connection. There's a reason. The reason why the Jews are so smart in the area of science is because of Torah. Who made that connection? The anti-Semites are the only ones. Because they said Jewish physics. It's Jewish physics, Jewish mathematics. This is what do they mean? See, they know. They know very well that it comes from a certain kind of thinking which really stems from Torah. Not just a certain kind of thinking, a certain attitude towards thinking. A certain attitude towards thought in general. That Einstein one time said, he says that he's proud that he's from a nation that recognizes the idea of learning just for the sake of learning. And if I mentioned last night, I said, that's why. Why don't you have such great men today? Somebody asked me, wrote an article, why don't you have great men like Einstein, like Freud, great minds like you had years ago? The answer is very simple. The answer is it's not dependent on IQ. It's dependent upon, I would assume the Jews are the same. We have intelligent people, they're intelligent people now. But what makes a chacham is the desire and the search, the pondering, the sleepless nights, the thought, the involvement. In today's society, what's the involvement? Involvement is getting a Nobel Prize, honor, money. You're not gonna work out theories that way. You're not gonna work out God's secrets of the universe that way. See, there's what though. But the ones who made the connection, who saw the connection, are maximum the anti-Semites. They said Jewish physics, but you'll never see in any history book that will show that relationship. Say, and the reason why the Jews were so successful in this area is because they had come from a whole heritage of chachma, of Talmud, and learning. You'll never see that. The only ones that recognize it is the anti-Semites. It's an amazing phenomenon.